Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Leader in Motion Radio. I'm your host, Christine LaPerriere. Today, I'm really excited. I have Rich Litvin joining me. Rich Litvin is one of the world's most exclusive coaches and has a real unique gift for working with men and women who have forgotten how powerful they are or who need to tap in deeper into their power more than ever before for what's coming next. Rich is based in L.A., and you can find out more about him on thatconfidentguy.com. I'm really excited to have Rich with me today because I've actually had the luxury of getting some really deep, very powerful coaching from Rich. I think just a great way to start this conversation is to talk a little bit about how Rich has impacted me. And one of the things that's so neat is I reached out to Rich a while back just out of curiosity about his coaching practice. I had heard about him through the grapevine, and he extended me the offer for a powerful conversation free of charge, which was sort of surprising to me, given that in the coaching world, I expect a proposal on my desk before I can even pick up the phone and talk to a coach. So in this powerful conversation I had with Rich, I was talking to him about the challenge that I have making decisions sometimes, especially as the decisions are more difficult and more complex. And one of the neat things that I remember Rich saying to me was, I also used to have a problem making decisions. And he said he boiled it down from some great advice he had gotten. It's either a hell yes or a no. So quite simply, if something feels really good to you and feels really inspiring, it's a hell yes. And if you're making that decision and it feels unsure or a little iffy or you're nervous or you have to talk yourself into it, it's probably a no for now. For me, that just streamlined my complex decision making and how it really kind of lifted this weight off of me in the path to making these really difficult decisions. So for me, inviting Rich on today was definitely a hell yes. With that, Rich, I must say hello, and how are you doing?
Nice. Thank you, Christine. Yeah, that's a powerful place to live your life from that principle, hell yeah or no. There's no in-between. There's no maybes. I used to have a life full of maybes, or I'll think about it, and now it's simple. And for me, too, it was a hell yeah to be in this conversation with you today.
Great. Thank you so much for coming on. So what I'm excited about today, Rich, I know I mentioned to you I have three powerful questions that I've had around my personal life and I guess maybe a little bit about my beliefs and kind of how I view the world. And I'm kind of excited because I'm going to use this chance today to pick your brain on three questions that have just been kind of gnawing at me. And I'm hoping that maybe you can also give me some coaching on how to improve my outlook and challenge my thinking. The three questions that I have, and I'll just kind of give them at the high level, Rich, and then we can kind of play around with how we want to step through them. The first one that comes up for me is all around authenticity. We're on Authentic You Radio right now, and I've interviewed a lot of executives and CEOs and leaders. And as soon as I ask them what is the one most important characteristic in a really powerful leader or powerful individual, they always say authenticity. And I feel like authenticity is so invisible. It's very, very hard to explain. So I'd love to ask your opinion today about how you'd coach me to be authentic and how I would even recognize if I was being authentic in that moment. So that's one of my first questions that I'm really excited about. The second question I have really showed up yesterday as I was listening to Oprah's Life Class. I bet many of my listeners probably have heard of it. And the conversation was around gratitude. And I was thinking to myself, how do I dream big, maybe dream bigger than I've ever imagined for myself, when I have so much gratitude for the present moment and I'm so thankful for so many things? For me, it feels sometimes counterintuitive to ask more of the world when I'm so thankful for what I have. And the third question I have for you, which will just be for fun, how do we say no when everything feels so important? I think when I think of really blowing the doors off of a successful life, reaching for those big dreams, sometimes we have to say no to what's in our current path. And for me, that always seems like a challenge because everything feels so important. So, Rich, I'm just setting those three up for you. Those are the ones that I'll be coming at you today.
I love that. So you're starting like real gentle, tiny little insignificant questions. A lovely way for us to jump in.
Yeah.
So you've crafted real powerful, deep questions, and that's what I like. Let me say a couple of words first, Christine, because I want to just distinguish what coaching is, or at least how I see coaching. Because there are a million coaches out there in the world. This is the best way I've got to describe coaching. This is the way I coach. For me, coaching is simple. If I help somebody to see their world differently, their world changes. It's as simple as that. I call it the Santa Claus moment, the moment when there's insight. The Santa Claus moment, you tell a little kid there's no such thing as Santa Claus, their life changes. There is no going back. And that's what happens when I spend time with people. I help them see their world differently. The moment they see their world differently, their world changes, and there's no going back. And because of the people I choose to spend my time with, because I do choose to spend my time with people who have big dreams, incredible things happen. Often, actually, impossible things happen, which is really kind of cool. So that's a little bit of context for me, what coaching is. And from that place, let's dive in. So the question you asked about authenticity, the topic around authenticity, that's a lovely place to dive in. I'll give you my thoughts on what it means, and then let's have a look at you and your world.
Okay.
The simplest way of describing authenticity for me is two words. It's be you. We spend our whole lives piling stuff upon what we really are. Like, if I show up in this way, if I look this way, if I speak this way, if I talk about these things, and we get to a moment where if we look back, we'd realize we're no longer who we really are. We don't show up in the world as the person we want to be, or as the person we really are. We show up as the person we want to be, and we wonder why we feel disconnected from people. Because they can't connect with us. They can't feel us. Because we're not really being us. So for me, be you, that is the message at the center of authenticity. So can I ask you about your own life?
Yes, sure.
Where in your world do you feel that you're being inauthentic? And this is kind of cool because I'm asking you on a show with thousands of listeners. Like, so I get there's an edgy nature to my question, but this is it, right here, right now, this is where we get to show up and be ourselves. So where in your world is there a place where it's hard to be authentic, or you notice, I'm not really authentic here?
Interesting. I think that's a great question. The one thing that stands out to me right off the bat is certain clients that I work with, in the business environment that I'm in, I can feel myself slowly disconnecting from that place of be you. So if you see, this conversation we're having right now, Rich, I feel very comfortable being me, and I know I'm not perfect, and I'm comfortable with that in the moment. And I'm also comfortable with that around my friends and family. I feel really connected there. And I would also say in most of my business, but what's interesting is there's the occasional situation where I'm working in a company, and I think this is my passion for corporate culture, is I'll be working in a company with a really defensive corporate culture, and I find myself pulling back and wanting to make sure that I do everything right and that I could be perceived as the expert and that I'm perceived as someone who doesn't make mistakes. And I can tell in that space I'm very stressed and I don't feel like maybe I'm showing up in the most powerful way.
Nice. I love it. Yeah. And actually, it's that gap between how we attempt to show up and who we really are that actually does the reverse of what we want. It creates distance. I remember the first time I was coaching someone, and this came up for me in the most powerful way. I'm coaching a guy around relationships. And then my wife and I had this huge argument. So I called up my client, and I said, hey, can we delay our call? And I forget what I said, but the truth is I didn't tell him the truth. I made up an excuse. So an hour later, I'm walking around the corner. Actually, it was a meeting face-to-face. I'm walking around the corner to meet him, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, what am I doing? I'm coaching this guy around relationships. And the key to relationships is that you hide nothing. You be yourself. And I just lied to my own client. Like, how can I be in integrity? And it was terrifying. It's like, oh, my God, he's going to fire me if I tell him the truth. But I chose to, and I said, listen, I want to be really open with you. I just had this massive argument with my wife, and I was embarrassed. So I hid it from you, and I made up an excuse. And he, first of all, he said, you know what? I knew there was something. He said, I didn't know what it was, but I knew there was something. And I think that's always the key. When we're not being authentic, at some level, other people always know. They feel something. And then we went on to have one of the best coaching conversations we ever had. Because I've been that vulnerable with him. He opened up and was vulnerable with me, and we connected in such a deep way. It was one of the most powerful conversations we could possibly have had.
I think that's fantastic, Rich. I understand that, too. I feel like I've had those moments where sometimes I realize it's better just to, as I feel like I'm hiding. Sometimes I feel like it's better to just go, okay, here it is. Because, as you said, I truly believe people can feel it in their gut, for all intents and purposes, when you're being inauthentic. And I think all of those who've been walking around saying we need more authenticity in the world feel that every day when they're interacting with people and they can't put their finger on why they feel so disconnected.
Yeah. And what you're touching on, there's a wonderful book I recommend to people called Getting Naked. And it's a business book, but I love the title, Getting Naked. And it's about really shedding all that stuff that we try and hide and put between us and our clients or between us and our boss. I remember my brother's a very successful film producer in England, and there was a moment when he broke down in front of the director. He was very, very stressed, and he broke down, and the director and a couple of other senior people on the team were just really there for him. And within, you know, minutes, he was feeling better, and they just all felt more connected. And suddenly he realized, I don't have to hide anymore. I don't have to pretend. It's not like I'm going to break down all the time. But if I'm feeling stressed, I can share that. You know, we're afraid that we'll lose the business, we'll lose the job, we'll be embarrassed, we'll feel inferior. And the truth is, in those moments when you stop hiding, There's nothing to fear, because you get to share all of you. Hey, they may like you, they may not like you, but the truth is there are going to be people who like us whatever we do. There are going to be people who hate us whatever we do, and most of the 6.5 billion people on the planet won't even know we existed. I like that. That gives me freedom, and the real freedom is like when I get to be me and I hide nothing.
And I think the insight that I just had while you were speaking is that, especially in the corporate world, authenticity breeds authenticity in other people. Because once they see how others respond to being, you know, to getting naked, all of a sudden you'll see other people start to bring that same level of authenticity forward, because it starts to feel a little more safe.
Yeah. Well, we're actually terrified of that thing that will actually set us free. And, yeah, you can model that. You can model that as a leader. You can model that as a team member. You don't have to be the leader in order to model this in an organization. You can model it as an entrepreneur, as a coach, as a consultant.
Definitely. I think that was great, Rich. Well, I'm not going to let you off the hook that easy. That was such a good answer. I need to make sure that I ask you my next question. Now, when I ask about how do you aspire for more? You know, I think sometimes about being challenged on dreaming big. How do you aspire for more when you know that it's so important to have a really deep gratitude for what you have in the moment?
Well, this is the moment where you're going to hate me, Christine, but you brought me on because what I do is deep coaching. So I'm not going to let you off the hook. Let's say for a moment with this place around authenticity, because it is edgy. And you know, as I say, you know, you're hosting a radio show with thousands of listeners. What about that place for you where even on this show, if you were willing to go deeper and be more authentic with your listeners, what if there was one thing that you could share that until now you've never said out loud to people listening? But actually, by you sharing this, you can demonstrate that even right now, and I bet the listeners are thinking, oh, my God, what's she feeling on the inside right now? That even right now, as I can see that too, that if you share one extra little thing, that will bring you deeper into connection with everyone who's listening.
I'm just thinking here. This is a good question, Rich. I'm looking for something deeper that I haven't shared. I think when I, this is a really tough one, Rich.
So I'm gonna talk for a minute while you sit with this, just to give you a chance to kind of get into it, and I'll just explain what's going on. Like this is challenging. We feel a lot inside of us when we're ready to like open up and share a little bit more with other people, but it is that thing that connects us, and so they'll because in that moment, when you share that thing that you're afraid of, when you share that thing that you messed up, the mistake you made, everyone who's listening gets to go, oh, me too. You're just like me. And we feel that little bit closer. And that's why I'm willing to hold you in this space right now and say, let's dive deeper. So I talked for a minute to give you a bit of space, a bit of thinking.
Yeah. Well, I think one thing that stands out for me that I think is kind of an interesting deep thought, let's say, around, it probably wouldn't come up had you not asked the question, is just how incredibly terrifying sometimes doing radio or blog talk radio can be, knowing that so many people are out there and listening to your conversations and judging those conversations via their own filters. So I think, you know, something that if you're asking for what occurs to me, I definitely feel like this in itself was really an opportunity for me to take a big risk, and it really took me having to ask myself, well, why me? Why should somebody listen to me? Why should somebody care about my point of view? And I think I realized that, if my genuine intention is completely pure to help other people and inspire other people and inspire more creative thinking and collaboration, then it can't be wrong. So for me, I've really come from a place of being very unsure as to why I'm doing this and why I have the right to do this and ask people to come out and listen to it. And I think, for me, the soul searching really became my intention, and getting really locked on my intention and using that to build my confidence as to why I feel people should listen to this conversation we're having right now.
Yeah. Nice, I get it. You know, there's a reason people, they say people have a bigger fear of public speaking than of death. You know, we're terrified of disapproval, and here you are, you get on each week and you create a radio show where thousands of people all around the world get to listen to you. I can get that place where it could be terrifying. Thank you for sharing that. Like, that will be a gift to your listeners. They get to know like a little bit more about you. That's the power of authenticity. And that's why I can get you off the hook.
That's good. And see, that's deep coaching, because you made me really reach into a corner pocket that I hadn't visited and definitely wasn't thinking about in the moment.
Cool. So let's dive deeper. Tell me about your second question, and I've got a question for you. Would you be willing to kind of to frame it in terms of your world? People will hear it so much more deeply when you frame it in terms of your world around gratitude and what you want more of.
Oh, I think that's a great question, Rich. When I think of how this relates to me, I think a really good example would be around money. And I feel very grateful for the work that I do and the fact that I'm valued for it, and that I, you know what, I have a great home and a great car and, you know, opportunity to travel. So when sometimes people throw out the idea of creating more wealth, I think to myself, well, when is it too much? And why would I set my sights out on, let's say, making $1 million a year if, you know, is that necessary to me? I'm so grateful for the fact that I lack for nothing in my life. And, you know, sometimes I really ask that question, why strive for, let's say, more financial wealth when I really am so grateful right now in the place that I've come to be in.
Mm. Nice. It's a great question, and it's interesting. It's in a different place from where many people would ask. You know, when people like Tony Robbins or Deepak go on Oprah and say, you know, the way to have more of what you want in life is to be grateful for what you've got right now. It's because most people are judging what they've got and wanting more. You're in a really interesting place, a really lovely place. Like, you're actually really grateful for what you've got. And now you're, how I hear it, is you're wondering, well, if I have to be grateful for what I've got, what if I want more too? Is that okay? Or do I judge that? So here's what I'd ask you around that is, what do you want it for? You see, money's only good for one thing. Money's only good for buying stuff. The mistake most of us make is we think money will give us feelings. When I have more money, then I'll feel good. When I have more money, I'll feel better. I'll be better. People will judge me a certain way, and I'll look good. That's the reason most of us want money, and it doesn't serve that purpose. My brother's selling his Porsche right now because he's bored with it. You know, those things we think we aspire to often don't bring us. Usually, don't bring us what we're seeking. So my question for you would be, well, if you want to create more wealth, what for? I don't want to answer the question, when is it too much? Because who cares? What do you want the money for? What would you love to create some money for right now?
Well, and I think that's a great point, because when I think of having a larger house or a nicer car or, you know, more money to travel, I genuinely feel so happy that those things don't actually make me think that I will be a significantly happier person. I don't see a big enough delta to chase. It doesn't feel inspiring to me. Not saying that I wouldn't love a big giant house and a big shiny car and unlimited financial, you know, wealth. I think many people would love to have that in their world. But interestingly enough, I mean, maybe for me, the thing to consider is, what could create a different feeling? Would it be giving back in a really powerful way, which I, you know, have just kind of thought about, or, you know, building a foundation to help people? Something that's really much more inspiring might actually make earning or chasing money a whole lot more interesting to me.
Well, that's nice. You see, I wouldn't advise you ever take on chasing money. Money's not really something you can be chased, that can be chased anyway, and it's not energy that will really serve you. Here's a belief around money that I've taken on that I love. Money is the most perfect expression of my creativity. Money is the most perfect expression of my creativity. If I want to make more money, I just say, okay, it's time to get creative. And if my bank account's low that month, it's a sign for me that I wasn't very creative that month. I have another belief around money. Money equals service. So if I want to create some more money, I just ask myself the question, who can I serve? Now, those are attitudes to money that really work for me. Chasing money, that didn't work for me. I found the more I chased it, the more it ran away.
Yeah.
So when I hear say, what I heard you say is that, you know, well, what if I created a foundation? Or what if I was able to give more? Well, how cool would that be? Well, if you were giving 10%, 5%, 20% of any income you made to charities that you loved, that might feel really cool to create more money.
I would agree. I think that's a great idea. It's interesting.
So the question I'll leave you with, or anyone who's listening, like the question to sit with is really, like, what do I want the money for? Or what would I love to do with the money? That's a more empowering question. Hey, sometimes what we want to do with money is pay the mortgage. Sometimes we want to take a holiday. Sometimes we want to say, you know what, I'd like to fly business class instead of coach. There's no judgment on that, if that's what you want. If it's not what you want, that's great too. But get clear on what you want, and then it will become clearer, it will become even simpler ways to create that money.
Excellent. I will have the. I've written that question down. There'll be some. I'll visit that one again for sure.
Mm.
I like that though. And then with that, I know I'm kind of rushing you just to the end here, but I'm hoping you'll come back and talk to me again. So I'll rush you today with the hopes of inviting you back again. How do we say no when everything feels so important? So, you know, when you, all of us feel like there's lots of opportunities, you know, coming at us with family and kids and life and relationships and career and aspirations and that book that you want to really read and just taking some downtime. You know, do you have any thoughts on how you'd suggest helping somebody with that challenge?
Well, I'll answer your question and then I'll answer another one that's behind that. How do we say no? We say no. The problem is, it's really hard to say no unless you've got something bigger to say yes to. You know, if you were in the car driving to the airport on the way for a month-long vacation in Hawaii and your clients phoned up and said, hey, you know, an hour of your time right now, or an email pings on your BlackBerry, you know, you're not going to say, you know what, I'm on my way to this wonderful month-long vacation, but I tell you what, I'll miss the flight. I'll skip the vacation. Have you ever noticed how productive we get the day before a holiday? We get everything cleared up. Like, we've got something yes, there's something big to say yes to. So we're willing to do the little stuff that normally takes us, that we normally drag out, and we're willing to say no to other things. So it brings me back to where we began our call. Hell yes or no. If you've got something that's a big enough hell yeah, you know what you can say no to. So with the limited time we've got, I'd say simply this. Find out what your hell yeahs are and go and spend more time on them. It will become far easier to say no and get rid of the maybes in your life. There's nothing in between. If it's not a hell yeah, then it is a no. Anything less than a hell yeah becomes a no.
That is fantastic, Rich. Thank you so much. Now, with this, we have just a minute or two left, but I'd ask you, I think you really kind of summarized some great takeaways around a hell yes or a no. I love that. I've been using that, and maybe I need to bring some more attention back to that theme when I'm thinking about just planning my day. Do you have any other final thoughts just as we wrap up?
Yeah, I'll share a story. I have a belief in life that space is where miracles occur. So at the end of last year, I created 6 months of space on my calendar. Other than my few clients, there was 6 months of space. And then I get a phone call. I won't say the name here, but the man is a billionaire, and he's creating this website where they want me to be the face of it, doing the blogging and the creating the videos. And I know this isn't my zone of genius. I'm pretty good at that stuff, but it's not my genius. My genius is me one-on-one, face-to-face or on the phone with somebody, helping them dream bigger than they've ever dreamed. So I turn down this offer. I walk away from it. I tell my wife how proud I am. It wasn't a hell yeah, so I said no. And she says, are you crazy? And I, you know what? That willingness to say no to anything that's not a hell yeah is what is making my life amazing. And it's really tempting to say yes to things. when they're in our zone of excellence. And I want to hold out for that thing that's my genius, the thing that's my unique gift, the thing that makes me authentic, the thing that makes me me. That's what's making my life powerful right now.
Thank you, Rich, so much. With that, we're going to wrap up. Again, if you want to learn more about Rich, please check him out at thatconfidentguy.com. And myself,
can I just share you, it's thatconfidentguy.com.
Oh, thank you. Sorry, Rich. thatconfidentguy.com. And I'm at leaderinmotion.com. Please take a look at us, and we'll talk to you very soon. Thanks, Rich. I hope to have you back.
Thanks, Christine. Bye now.
Good night.